Hey guys, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. My name's Sean, and if we've never met, I'd love to meet you. Come say hi right after this. I'd also like to thank Ryan for not signing me up to be in that pizza roll roulette video, because I'm a wuss when it comes to spicy stuff. So that would not have gone well. It would have been like Ryan times 10. So it's good to be here. One of the things that we think about when we think about, hey, what do we get to share with you guys from God's Word on a weekly basis here at Wake, is to take what the Scripture says about God and to take who God is and His goodness and apply it to different areas of our lives. The idea that, hey, if God is good, then He's good in this area and He's good in this area and He's good in this area. And I'm not going to compartmentalize that and think, well, I'm going to follow what God says when it comes to my friends, but I'm not going to follow what God says when it comes to, relationships with the opposite gender. Or I'm not going to follow what God says when it comes to using my words. We believe that God is good in all ways. And so if He's good in all ways, then it is worth sharing how His way is good in every aspect of our lives. And so this month, you probably realize this is a pretty big month for the United States of America, right? 2 days from now, the country will vote on who not only will be the next president, but who will be the next people in the Senate and in local elections. And what are the things that are going to happen in different states, different propositions? It's a huge time, and our country will undergo some change or stay the same, but there's going to be a lot of conversation about it. About what it means to be an American, how things should be, who should be in charge. And you can't vote. I get that. And so you might even be thinking, wait, why do I need to hear about this then? I thought I'd come to Wake to escape what my parents are hearing. Or I just come for the donuts. And that could be the case too. But it does matter. It matters for you. Can anybody guess what the motto, the national official motto of the United States is? And God We Trust. There's a good guess because it's the name of our series. That's pretty good. But yes, it is In God We Trust. That is the official motto of our country. I was surprised to hear that. Because when I look at our country, I see a lot of people that are running from putting their trust in God. That go, hey, I can't trust God. I can only trust myself, or I can only trust my feelings. Or I see a lot of people that say, hey, I do trust God, but their actions, their words, their reactions show that their highest trust is in whatever their view of God is. Maybe it is themselves. Maybe it's in the government. And you guys are in the middle of it. You are living in a country, a great country, and you have the opportunity, not necessarily to vote right now, but you have the opportunity to live out In God We Trust, and God I Trust, with your own lives. Boys, girls, sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders, you all have the opportunity to live out In God I Trust in your own lives. And that influence and that opportunity will only increase as you get older, and you're old enough to vote, and you're old enough to participate even more. And you guys are affected by what's going on, and so we want to present what God's Word says about a lot of different issues that people are talking about in this country right now. And that's what we'll do for the next month in this series, In God We Trust. We want to give you some perspective, some actions, and some ways to think about how you can place your trust fully in God as you live here in the United States. So today, we will actually be in 1 Samuel. You could go there and find your place there. Chapter 8 is where we'll start. While you do that, I'm going to pray that God would teach us this morning. So, Lord, would you teach us this morning? You are good. We just sang about how good you are. God, and your way is good. And so, God, would you show us how we can trust you and trust your way and trust that it's good as we are Americans. God, as we live in this country. And I would ask you guys to pray for yourself. Pray that God would teach you something. God, we love you. Only you have the words of eternal life. And so would you teach us this morning? We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, does anybody remember PE in elementary school? PE in elementary school is like the best thing ever because, you know, once you got in that like athletics, when you're in like middle school and high school, it's just all like working out, running, all that stuff. But in PE, in elementary school, you're just playing a lot of games all the time. And one of my favorite games that we played was medic ball. Has anybody ever played medic ball? All right. Here's how the rules of medic ball work. It's a lot like dodgeball. Two teams chunking balls at each other, hoping to knock the other people out. But in medic ball, if you get hit, you just sit down, all right, on your side. Wherever you get hit, you have to sit down right there. But one person on your team is the medic. And if they come touch you while you're sitting down, you're back up. You get a free ride to the back wall, and you're back in the game, ready to go again. If the medic gets hit, the medic's out. And then if you get hit after the medic's out, you're out too. And so the goal is to knock out the other team's medic and then to knock out all the other people. Well, one time we were playing, it's like fourth grade, you know, and my team was in a bit of a hole because up close to like the mid-court line, a lot of us, including myself, we were all down. I guess we had charged when maybe we shouldn't have, and it just did not go well. And so a bunch of us are sitting down, and there is literally only the medic in the back. And it is this girl that is just like wide-eyed. She didn't want to be the medic. She was like, she drew it out of a hat or something. And she's like, you know, like when you're the last one in dodgeball, you're up against the wall and you're like, you know, dodging the balls. Everybody's just slinging them at you as hard as they can. The Jacob Algers of the world are just slinging those. They're just like, I'm going to take that person out. And that girl is just like, please help me. So it was her as the medic. But then there was one other guy on our team that was still in, Matthew Medrano. All right, and let me tell you about Matthew Medrano. Matthew Medrano was the biggest, the tallest, the fastest. He might have been 15 years old. I don't even know. But for whatever reason, he was like a beast, okay? And Matthew Medrano is the only one in left. And here's what Matthew Medrano did. He got two different balls. You know, that's what you want to do. And he goes to the medic and goes, hey, get behind me. And so he leads out. The medic's right behind him. And he is like, people are throwing balls and, you know, he's blocking them with the balls. It looks incredible. He's creating a path for the medic and they make it to somebody and he's like, tag that person and he's blocking them. You know, he'll catch one and that person's out. He'll throw it right back at somebody else. And so we get that person. They go back and then he takes the medic. Come on, let's go to this person, this person, this person, this person. And Matthew Medrano creates a lane and creates a path for the medic to save everybody on our team. And our team wins. And Matthew Medrano is incredible. I mean, give it up. Matthew Medrano is the reason that our team prevailed that day. He said we saved a lot of lives, that medic did. And he was like, hey, I know only the medic can save. And so I'm going to make a path for that medic. Stay behind me and we're going to be all right. Matt's leadership helped us succeed. And so the reason I tell you that is because today we are going to talk about leadership. And leadership affects your lives every single day because leaders affect your life every single day. This country, this nation is built on leadership. 2 days from now, the citizens of this country are going to go and choose who they want their leaders to be. And that's a big deal. Leaders are a big part of this country. Now, you might say, hey, I don't get to choose the president. I don't get to choose my teachers. I don't get to choose my parents. And you're right. Like a lot of the leaders in your life, when you think of leaders, you're not necessarily getting to choose right now. But that might be a good thing, right? You might just choose your buddy to be the leader at this point. But you will one day. And so it's important to hear that. But even more importantly, let me say it another way. Who you choose to follow affects your lives every single day. You are choosing to follow people even right now. The friends that you hang out with, the people that you give influence over your life, the people that you admire, the people at your school that you view, hey, I want to be like that guy, the people that you view as role models, even the people you follow on social media or YouTube, like those words, follow and influence, have even more meaning in 2020 than they did even 10 years ago. You are all following people and you are choosing to let people have influence over you. And so I don't want to talk today about Donald Trump or Joe Biden, but instead I want to talk about the people you are choosing to lead you. And then I want to talk about the kind of leader you are, how you are influencing other people, because that affects not only you, but everybody else as well. So today we're going to look at how to choose a leader and how to be a leader. And so that's where we come in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let me give you a little bit of background. Israel is God's chosen people, right? And God is their leader. He is their king. He is going before them and making a way. He leads them out of Egypt. He parts the Red Sea. He leads them into the land that he had promised them. Okay? And something happens in 1 Samuel 8. Before this, there had been judges that kind of represent God, but God is still the leader. And something happens. Samuel is the last judge. Okay? And they tell Samuel something. And here's what they tell him in 1 Samuel chapter 8. This is verses 4 through 5. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old. Your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." So they're saying, hey, we want a king because all the other countries have a king. We want to be like them. And Samuel goes, hey, basically I'm going to paraphrase like 15 verses. And Samuel says, hey, if you want a king, I wouldn't advise it because the king's going to come in and he's going to rule. And whatever the king says, you have to do. If the king says, hey, you're going to be the guy that picks up garbage, right? You got to do it. If the king says, hey, I want this much of everybody's crops, you have to do it. If the king says, hey, these are the rules, you have to follow those rules. God is your leader. You can just have him. That's what he wants and that's what he's designed. And this is their response, jumping a little ahead, verses 19 and 20. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we'll be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. So right away, their motivation for a king is purely so they can be like everybody else. They want a king to go lead them in battle, which I would say is a bad trade-off when you've got a God who literally parts the sea. That feels like a great ally to lead you in battle, but they're like, no, we want to be like everybody else. So their mindset's already a little bit whack. And the guy they choose to be king is a guy named Saul. Now, this is different than the Saul of the New Testament who later becomes Paul, who writes most of the New Testament. So that's a different guy. This Saul is Israel's first king, because God is like, okay, you know, as God often does, he will say, hey, this isn't the best way, but you know what? I'm going to let you have it. And so you're going to live with the good and bad consequences of it. The king that they choose is a guy named Saul. All right? And Saul, if he was in here, you'd have been like, that is the guy. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 10 says, Saul stood head and shoulders taller than anybody else. He was tall. He looked the part, muscular, like the guy. He probably looked like Matthew Medrano, honestly. And he was likable. People liked being around him. But what Saul lacked, and we later will see this, he lacked character. He lacked integrity. He lacked faithfulness. And he lacked obedience to God. And so when we talk about how to choose a leader, how to choose the people that have influence over your life, and then later, as you get older, how to choose people that have influence over the country that you live, the job that you do, bosses, on and on and on. When you choose leaders who have the characteristics that really matter. Later, God will talk about what he looks for, okay? And this is in 1 Samuel 16, 7. It says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's what you need to look at. Like in our world, in your world, not even just talking about politics, there are a lot of people that you would go, I should pick that person just because of the way they look on the outside, the things they do, the what they look like, the way that they seem to carry themselves when they're in front of people. And you go, that's the guy I should follow. But what you need to look at when you choose who's going to have influence over your life is the characteristics that really matter. Character, integrity, faithfulness, obedience to God. Do your closest friends have integrity? Do they do the right thing? That's a great question to ask. Do they do the right thing? If they don't, you might be really wise to be careful about how much influence you give them over your life. When you get older, when you choose politicians, when you choose leaders, when you choose bosses, when you choose spouses, the people that are going to have influence over you, do they love Jesus? Do they try to follow him faithfully? Guys, that's critical. That's the characteristics that really matter, not what it looks like on the outside. And so not only should you choose characteristics that really matter, choose leaders who point you to the King. You could read a lot right after 1 Samuel 8. You could read a lot of those chapters, and what you'll see is that while he spoke about honoring God, and maybe even wanted to, especially at times, his heart was just as devoted to honoring himself. In fact, being honored before the people, having the people love him, was something he cared deeply about, to his own failure. That desire to be loved by people led him eventually to disobey God and to lead his people to disobey God. And that happens in 1 Samuel 15, where he does that. And then Samuel comes to him and is like, hey, what are you doing? You are the king, and because you have disobeyed God and led the people following you to disobey God, the Lord has rejected you as king. God wants somebody to lead his people that is going to lead them to obedience to God, to trusting in God, to following God. And so he has rejected you. And here is Saul's response in 1 Samuel 15:30. This is Saul pleading with Samuel. Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned. So he says, I know I've sinned, but please at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me. And so like he's like, yeah, I know I sinned, but hey, like I know I sinned. I'm sorry. Sure. But when we go back, can you at least honor me before the people? Don't let them know that the Lord's rejected me. Don't let them know that I've failed. Please honor me before the people. He has sinned before a holy God, the God that he's supposed to lead his people to follow. And his main thing is, hey, honor me before the people. I don't want them to stop loving me. I don't want them to stop applauding me and giving me acclaim and praise. When Saul wanted to point people to somebody, it wasn't the king. It was himself. His biggest question was, will the people honor me? And so when you choose leaders, when you choose people who are going to have influence over your life, you choose a leader whose biggest question is, will the people I lead honor God? Will I honor God? Choose leaders who point you to the King, now and in the future. Choose leaders who point you to the King. So that's how you choose leaders, with the characteristics that really matter, not on the outward appearance, but in the heart. And then choose leaders who point you to the King. Here's how to be a leader. It goes a lot with that. The first thing is this. Be a leader who's not about the platform, but the people. So a good example of what not to do, the opposite of this, it was me in high school. There was an organization that we kind of randomly, me and some friends randomly got put in. And you know what happened? Like, people were running for different things in that organization, but nobody was running for the president. Like, literally, nobody was running to be the president of this, like, it's called like National Honor Society or whatever. And people are like, I don't need to be president. And I ran for president purely because nobody was running, first of all, and I knew it would look good on a resume when I was like trying to go to colleges. And I'll tell you what, it was a landslide victory for me. And I became president of that But like, I didn't care at all. I don't even, like, I couldn't tell you right now one thing that I did as president of that organization. Probably nothing. Because all I cared about was this, that it would look good on a resume. And that's a terrible example of being a leader. The opposite, what you should do, is to be a leader who's not about the platform, but the people. And for Saul, his success was defined by how much people loved him. His success as a leader, to him, was defined by how much people loved him. That's a terrible measure of success. If that's your measure of success, all you will do is whatever it takes to make people love you. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but people move on really quick, right? It doesn't take much for people to like change their minds about how they feel about something. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, the Texas Longhorns football team was in serious trouble. Yesterday, they beat the number 6 team in the country. People a little more optimistic, right? I went to A&M the first game of the season. We looked terrible, right? We pulled out a narrow win over the powerhouse Vanderbilt. And then the next week, we got shellacked by Alabama like 83-0 or something like that. It's somewhere around that. But now, man, like 3 or 4 weeks later, we're like, man, could we make it into the national championship? I don't know. Maybe so. People move on really quickly. Think about celebrities and how quickly all it takes is to say one wrong thing and people are like, I am out on that guy. Or maybe not even saying the wrong thing, just being in front of people a lot and people are like, ah, for whatever reason, I'm out on that person. People's minds and opinions change really fast. And if you're, as a leader, only chasing people's opinions, man, it's not going to go well for you. You will not be a good leader. When you care about the platform, you miss the point, and eventually you will lose the people. Don't care about the platform. Care about the people. Saul's definition of success was how much people are loving you. Let your definition of success be, how are the people following you? How are they doing? Are they better because they follow your lead? Do they thrive? Are they being pointed to the right thing? That is your definition of success. And you'll know you're doing this if in your leadership you point others to the King. Just like you should look for that in a leader, in your leadership you will know you are doing well if your leadership points other people to the King. Just like Matthew Medrano. He couldn't save anybody, but he knew the medic could. And so he was like, hey, I'm going to let my leadership pave the way for the medic to come and save everybody on this team. Let your leadership make a way for people to seek God, to recognize him as good, to follow Jesus. And then here's what I want to tell you. You might be sitting out there and you're like, hey, you might not feel like much. You might be like, hey, there's no way I could be a leader. You look to your left and to your right and you go, that guy is a leader. That girl's a leader. I'm not a leader. And I just want to encourage you by telling you about the next king. So Saul was a failure because he cared more about the platform, more about the influence than he did the people and leading them to the king. But the next king was a guy named David. Now, a lot of you know David. You've heard about David before. David and Goliath, that's like a part of like our cultural language. But my guess is if David was sitting in this room in normal clothes, you might not even recognize him. Because David is not the tall, likable, head and shoulders above everybody else that Saul was. Like when David's dad brought out all his sons to Samuel, it'd be like, because Samuel's like, hey, the next king I think is going to be one of your sons. He didn't even include David in that list. That's like, you know, he didn't even drive his son to the band audition, to the basketball tryouts. He didn't even take him there. He's like, no, it's just not going to happen for you, buddy. In fact, when David fought Goliath, he wasn't there because he was a part of the army. He wasn't there because he had heard about Goliath. He's like, I'm going to go take on this Goliath guy. He was only there because he was delivering cheese to the army. That's true. You can read that. He was on a cheese run. And that is why he was there. But when he got there, what he saw was everyone else was just talking. They were afraid. They're like, this Goliath is crazy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? This is the end of us. Meanwhile, Goliath is over there just, you know, talking the heat about the Israelites and their God, making fun of them, dishonoring the name of God. And David just goes, what? No. And somebody's got to step up. I'm going to step up. And he does. And you know how it ends. And here's what I want to tell you is that nobody followed David into that battle. David didn't give a speech, you know, like they do in the movies. And he was like, guys, let's go take on Goliath, right? They can't take our freedom. And everybody's like, yes, that's not what happened. David was like, I guess I'm going to do it. And they go, well, here's a suit of armor. And David's like, well, it's too big for me. I guess I'll just go without the armor. And they're like, do you want a sword? He's like, no, a slingshot will be fine. And nobody else is like, this is the guy. Let's go. But David was faithful to be who he was. And who he was is what the Bible described as a man after God's own heart. And he took that slingshot and he ended Goliath right there. And guys, that's like the most important thing I could tell you about how to be a leader. And it's this: lead before you're a leader. Here's what I mean by that. David didn't show up looking for a platform. David didn't show up there being like, here's my chance to get people to follow me. Like I said, he was just delivering cheese. But he just was who he was. He was David. And the person he was before he showed up there was the same person he was when he showed up there, and the same person after he took down Goliath. And after he took down Goliath, people were ready to follow him. But who he was never changed in all that. It just was who he was, a man of action that wants to follow and honor God. He was a leader before he ever led anybody. Before anybody was ever even following him, he was a leader. And that's how to be a leader. You don't lead just to be a leader. You lead a way of life that honors and trusts God because he's good, because he's worthy of following and trusting. You lead by example. And so, like, you're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And the way you do that is you just show up. You just show up to your schools and your teams and your neighborhoods and your bands and whatever you're at, your families. You just show up and you just try to follow God as best you can. Just, hey, I'm going to try to trust God as best as I can. I'm going to live that out as best as I can. Don't look to your left or to your right to see what everybody else is doing. Don't look to see, hey, who are the people that everybody is following? Who are the people that everybody is like, that's the guy? You just lead yourself. You just lead a way of life that trusts God. Don't even look behind you to see if anybody's following you. You just lead in a way that's good and right and helpful so that when people do follow you, they're headed down the right path just because you are who you are. And you might have nobody following you. You might not have anybody at your school that knows your name. Nobody knew David's name when he showed up with that cheese wheel. Nobody knew his name. But they did later. And it wasn't because he was trying to make them know his name. It was just because he was who he was. A guy that honored and followed and trusted God with his whole life. And so that's how you be a leader. We talked about how Saul failed God. He did not have the characteristics that matter. He didn't point his people to the king. And in spite of that, God still faithfully supplied David, faithfully provided a king. And David had a kid. And who had a kid? Who had a kid? Who had a kid? And from that line of kids eventually came Jesus, who God also faithfully supplied. And Jesus was the ultimate example of a leader you should follow. You should follow him. He himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. You should follow Jesus. He alone is worth following. He alone is worth surrendering everything that you have, care about, and desire to follow him. And he's also the ultimate example of how to lead. You want to see how to be a great leader? Go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible says at the end of all things, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And yet, here is what Jesus said in Mark 10:45. Even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. He did not come to seek a platform, but just to serve. And he did serve, even to the point of dying on the cross, even though he was the only one who lived a perfect life for your sins and for my sins. And you will not be a good leader if you have not surrendered your life to him first, if you don't let him be the leader of your life. So follow him, surrender your life to him, model his leadership, and just be somebody that follows Jesus and let God take care of everything else. God, thank you that you are the ultimate example of a leader. God, thank you that you came for us. God, I pray that we would not seek any approval, any acclaim, any applause, any adoration besides what comes from you. God, I pray that we would not want to lead because of the influence or the power or the perks that come of it, but God, that we would just lead lives that honor and follow and trust you. And God, we'll let you give us whatever influence you want to give us. God, and help us faithfully lead them just by leading ourselves and leading a way of life that trusts you. God, we can only do that through a relationship with you. So God, I pray if there's somebody in this room that has not ever put their faith in you and surrendered their life to you, God, that they would tell somebody here, now, today, this morning, God, that they might find a life that comes from you. And God, for those of you that walked in this room having trusted you before, God, I pray that you would help all of us to just to trust you with our lives, God, and be ready to lead whoever you give us influence over in that. Help us choose people that point us to you. We ask this in your name. Amen.